Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hey, and welcome to another episode of Lake Life Weekend Podcast. I'm Dirk, I'm your host, and this is weekend 47 approaching. Thank you for tuning in. Another recording from our trip to the Twin Cities, and I was able to capture this beautiful story of Jenny and Nick Anderson, who live just north of the Twin Cities, and they have an online blog, Instagram account, and storytelling online, just right up our alley, because they go out every weekend to make a trip outdoors year-round, ice fishing, hunting, biking, climbing, camping, canoeing from the northeast tip of Minnesota to the southwest. And yeah, I was really excited to find them, to read about them, and then able to connect and capture their story. So stay tuned for this interview about a very outdoorsy young couple. And yeah, if you have a chance, please go to lakelifeweekend.com to find latest updates in our local area. Again, stories, road trips, and especially events. We are releasing a shop here pretty soon, so stay tuned for that. And then again, the expo is coming in March. Please remember that. But I know upcoming is Thanksgiving, so this is a pretty busy weekend for everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you have a great time with your loved ones. I know you're all gathering, and I'm actually gathering with my family too. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and have a great weekend ahead, and enjoy our interview with Girl of 10,000 Lakes. Yeah, this is our second podcast recording on the road, and I'm here in the Twin Cities with the Instagram account Girl of 10,000 Lakes, and who's behind it? I'm here with Jenny and her husband, Nick. Hi, you two.
Hello.
Yeah, thank you for making time on this day and allowing me to record. We connected a few weeks back through Instagram. When I saw posts of yours in our area up in Perham at Glendalough State Park. Yep. And you had Kiwi, this is our third interview guest here, your dog along, and your trailer that people know from your Instagram account.
Yes.
And before we talk about Instagram, influencer, social media and those things and how that all happened, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit? Are you from Minnesota? Are you Lake Life people? Who is Jenny and who's Nick?
Sure. I'll start. Is that okay?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. So I'm Jenny Anderson, and I grew up mostly in Minnesota. I came here when I was age 3 from South Korea. That's where I was born.
Okay.
So I am a transplant technically. My parents and I, we moved here, and my siblings grew up here. They were born here. So we pretty much grew up in Minnesota. And lake life is something that I discovered not too long ago. Probably in the last like 5 to 6 years. So I would say I'm an adult onset lake life lover.
Okay.
So it's a pretty new, but like a concept that I totally am passionate about.
You grew up in the Twin Cities?
I did.
Okay, the Twin Cities. So you're a city girl, actually.
Yeah, I am a
metropolitan.
Suburban.
Suburban, yes, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And you are behind the scenes, you are the manual.
That's right, yeah. I try to kind of just, you know, hide in the background a little bit, doing more of the maintenance and heavy lifting and making sure, you know, the trailer makes it down the road.
Yeah.
Which sometimes it doesn't, so it does get exciting.
But. You are from Minnesota too?
Yeah, yep. I grew up in Rochester.
Okay.
We have a family cabin up north, and so kind of lake life to me, you know, it just brings a, you know, warm smile to my face, and
so you
like
have the
term right off the bat. Yeah,
the full Minnesota package, because I meet people that live in the cities or live somewhere, and then the lake life, the weekend cabin, is always that summer
yeah,
memory.
Yep. I'd say I'm kind of the cookie cutter Minnesotan.
Okay.
Yeah.
With the escape plan.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So you grew up on a lake in a way.
Yeah. I mean, I would spend, you know, weeks up there, you know, every summer with, you know, family and friends and
okay.
water skiing and fishing and that sort yeah. of stuff.
So now we have the girl of 10,000 lakes. And you are by trade, you work with video, you work photo. What is your work about
yes.
besides that?
So for a living, I do video production. I studied broadcast journalism, so I was in like the news industry. And
okay.
so now I kind of branched off into video. And then from there, we spend a lot of time together in on the lake, in the woods, at the cabin. So all these north woodsy type activities, which we both love. And I just thought, you know, I have these resources in front of me, my camera, my video equipment, my editing skills. Why not turn that into a creative outlet that I can share with other people?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how Girl of 10,000 Lakes kicked off last year. It's only been about a year now.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you were outdoors all the time through your work?
Sometimes through work and then just on our own. So just converging the work skills and then our like hobby together is what led to Girl of 10,000 Lakes.
And if I may ask, I mean, you look fairly young. So you are a generation that grows up with social media and you are like 28, 32.
Close.
Where are you at?
Pretty good,
that
yeah.
That's really good. I'm 29.
34, yeah.
So, okay, so
I guess we are millennials.
Right, right. And I'm just to, you know, not everybody just starts an Instagram account. And if they do, they don't really have a topic. So you actually created this idea and you ran with this state of 10,000 lakes, or Minnesota 10,000 lakes is yeah our theme. Right?
Right.
Although we have 11,473 lakes or something like that, or
yeah.
something like that. But we are the 10,000 lakes and actually, yeah, Girl of 10,000 Lakes. I mean, that is a concept. So you created that and you had an idea.
Yeah.
And you wanted to be creative. You just said you had the technical skills, editing, photography, the connection. And so you see yourself as an artist or expressionist or how?
I would say oh gosh, what's the right word? An inspiration influencer, maybe? Someone
okay.
who provokes the idea or the giving other people the passion to want to go outside after seeing my content. So that's kind of my goal, is people look at our photos, our video, the activities that we do right here in Minnesota. And a lot of times people will say, I didn't know you could, you know, these resources are right here in our backyard. So capturing that,
okay.
inspiring them is my goal.
Okay, you see, that's very interesting. So you actually want to give access and inspire someone to follow like a canoe trip, or like
right.
follow your route and say, yeah, Glendalough State Park, that was pretty. I saw that. Let's do that too with boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, kids.
Sure.
So you really have the goal to have them explore our Minnesota.
Yeah, that's exactly
okay.
exactly the goal. And while we do that, we get to experience Minnesota ourselves. So it's a win-win.
Of course.
Yeah.
So just a year old account. And in that industry, or how many followers do you have so far?
Gosh, I think I have just under 6,000 right now.
Okay.
So it's, I guess in the scheme of Instagram world, that's actually like pretty small. But,
yeah,
but
pretty good.
In Minnesota, it's pretty good. Yeah.
It is pretty good. Yeah,
yeah.
6,000. I have 241, so I have none.
We can talk later.
Yeah,
I'll
yeah.
help you grow that.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, no, but that is a lot. And what I saw is the interaction rate. You have usually around 1,000 likes, or between 600 and 1,600. People reacting to your pictures, and that's very significant.
Yeah.
So I see that people connect and react to your pictures
right.
and your trips, because that's very strong.
Yeah.
And so what is your experience while you do those trips? What do you like most? You just said outdoors, but some highlights or things that you would have not expected. Do you have because I love road tripping. I mean, I'm pretty much every weekend I try to make a trip. So what are good experiences or surprises of our home Minnesota that you had while you were road tripping?
Northern Lights, I would say, was one when we were on the up in the Boundary Waters, and that's always a surprise to see. But
were you canoeing or tenting at night because they come late?
Yeah, we're in Superior National Forest, and just happened to be a perfect night, and suddenly the whole sky became like greenish purple, and it's pretty amazing.
Wow. Yeah, it was like a ribbon just flowing across the sky, and he was like, there's Northern Lights, come out of the tent right now. And I was like, no, there isn't. Like, we've tried to see these, there's no way. And I came out, and it was like gone for like a split second, and then I kept looking, and it started to appear again, and it was just amazing. It went on for like at least a couple of hours.
Wow.
So if you scroll back to like the beginning of my account, yeah, it's the photos there where I'm standing there.
And that was the time we forgot the tripod. I remember very clearly because we're like, where's the tripod? I almost forgot it.
You need a tripod if you're trying to shoot Northern Lights because you need the shutter speed. Yeah.
Shutter speed.
We had like the camera balanced on a rock with like a couple sticks like underneath it. And then we'd like very carefully press it and like try and get Jen in the shot. And like she had to be very still. It
such was, a production. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, there are surprises like that. Things that you can't see anywhere else, really, unless you're in northern parts of the state.
Right.
Like other things that have surprised me is since meeting Nick, I found a passion for fishing and recently hunting, a lot of camping, lots of canoeing, ton of hiking. Nick doesn't like to take credit, but he is kind of my mentor in getting started in things like fishing, things that I didn't grow up with because my parents, you know, we're from South Korea, so we were just trying to assimilate and, you know, fit in, that sort of thing. So I just never grew up with it. But after we met, we did a lot of these outdoor things together that I was like, wow, first of all, I love this. Second of all, I'm pretty good at it.
Too good at it, yeah.
Yeah, she fishes better than
it's
you.
It's getting embarrassing now, yeah. For ice fishing, I don't know what it is, but she is just awesome at ice fishing.
Really?
It's so fun. I just love how, with ice fishing especially, you just slow down. Literally, you're not in a rush to do anything. You just wait for your minnow to get taken or your flag to pop up if you have a tip-up set up outside.
Okay.
And it's just like a waiting game, but you're just hanging out, having a beer or some wine, listening to music, looking at the snow falling outside, and in the meantime, you're also catching fish.
Huh.
It's really fun.
Sometimes catching fish.
Yeah. Yeah, I have not connected to ice fishing yet so much, but it does sound rejuvenating or grounding or relaxing. I like the movie Grumpy Old Men.
Yeah.
It's a Minnesota classic, right? 1996 or something like that.
That's a pretty good portrayal, I think, of like the typical Northwoods.
But they really don't catch very much.
No,
I mean,
no,
they're not very good at it.
No,
so that's the problem. Yeah.
It's just that's the image for me as a foreigner having of this. Anyways, so you love the outdoors and you do it as much as you can year round.
Mm-hmm.
Because ice fishing obviously is coming,
yep,
and hiking more in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to almost every corner of the state yet, you feel?
We haven't been to Lake of the Woods yet, but
we were near there.
Yeah, we've been up to Voyageurs, so mm-hmm, we still got to get up to Lake of the Woods. Otherwise, yes.
Pretty much, yeah. Just a few weeks ago, we were in Luverne, Minnesota,
yeah,
which is like the southwest corner of Minnesota, which I would have never gone to had the pheasant opener not been there. So
I saw those pictures.
Yeah.
You hunting with a few people.
That was so fun. That was my first time pheasant hunting.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually like pheasant hunting.
Oh, you do?
I used to have a Vizsla hunting dog.
Oh,
that's
a great dog. Lots of energy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I like pheasant hunting. I haven't done it for a while, but I like the walking, and you do it in a group rather than sitting in a tree stand personally waiting.
Yeah, moving around more.
Yeah, that's... So you did that, and you enjoyed it.
It was fun, yeah. I learned a lot. I had a lot of experts right there with me, so
yeah,
a lot of people giving me some advice. I met with women who hunt.
I saw that.
Yeah, that was really cool because you just don't meet a lot of women who are in that industry unless you like go to these events.
Sure.
So connecting with them and then getting their advice which is really nice, because I don't know, as a woman, like, sometimes I do feel like, oh, I don't want to be judged by, like, my lack of knowledge.
Sure.
Or just people assuming that I'm not, you know, good at something like that.
I can
see. So it's nice to have someone who doesn't judge.
Relate more.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like me with my accent at times, you know. I don't know what No, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get it. It makes sense. And did you get a bird?
Our group got one.
She winged it, yeah.
Oh.
And it got finished off.
We all took shots,
yeah.
I think. So someone
yeah.
got it.
So it was a success.
Yeah.
Did you get to take it and did you eat it?
We did get it. So we took it home and Nick prepared it and ate it.
Yep.
You didn't try?
This one had a lot of lead in it.
Oh. Because pheasant is really delicious, actually.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yep. I
yeah.
enjoyed it.
I've had it before. I love it in
yeah.
the crock pot and
right.
that sort of thing. But this one I skipped because of the lead.
I actually like duck. In Europe, we eat a lot of duck.
Oh, okay.
And people, like, they hunt for duck, but I don't really know if they all eat it. I guess they do, of course,
yeah.
yeah. But duck is really delicious, too.
Oh, yeah.
So you have been all over Minnesota. How is the... What's behind the scenes? I mean, I've seen your camper, which actually is an ice house or fish house, too. Did you convert that into... that it can level, grow
yeah,
down?
Yeah. So we got it just off of Craigslist not too long ago, but it was a pretty beat up... fish house, and it was originally a vintage camper that was converted into a fish house, so they just added a crank down mechanism.
Right. Oh, so they did
yeah.
that already.
Yeah, so somebody, and that was probably back in the 80s, or so it was already, you know, had some use on the whole crank down system, but we remodeled that, and now you can use it camping in the summer, or ice fishing in the winter, or hunting
yeah.
in the fall.
I have the same model, that's actually my recording studio. So
cool.
I bought one of those on the road and just painted it black and gutted it. And then mine is just with cloth so that there's no echo. There's a different recording here with
oh,
in
right.
the room.
Yeah.
So I think I have the exact same model.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, they're pretty cute. Yeah.
Yes.
Did yours have ants in it too when you bought it?
No. Mine was, it was almost rotten out. I had to really redo it. So you bought that recently for this project?
I mean, we bought it because we wanted to go ice fishing.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
With like a contained house where we're warm at all times, instead of like the pop-up
right.
tent, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a bonus because it has a crank down and you don't have to use a crank down in the summer if you don't want to.
Right. So it is a camper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So use that on your trips, correct?
Correct.
You see it in the
yeah.
pictures at times, but you travel with that thing.
Made it to Glacier National Park in
really?
Grand Tetons, yeah.
So we call it the Little Hot Dish. That's the
yep.
name we gave it because it's super Minnesotan. It's very small and cute. It was very fitting. So it's got a personality of its own now.
Yeah, no, it is cute. It's absolutely nice colors. I saw it. So what's behind the scenes? How much technical things happen? Because it's a production. I mean, it's not just always taking a picture. How much work is actually put into this? You publish every day?
Probably like 3 to 4 times a week.
Okay.
Yeah, so I try to just put out like my best content. I used to do it every single day, and then I realized just not productive, just better to do the best stuff and put a few out there every
okay.
week. But it is quite a production because if we're going out, let's say ice fishing, we have to trailer the camper, we have to make sure the heater's working and make sure there's food stocked in the cupboards, all the dishes are returned back, the water jugs need to be filled so that the pump sink will work, make sure we have propane for the heat, propane for the stove.
Yeah.
It's a long checklist. Our ice fishing equipment all needs to be ready to go and untangled. We need to pick up bait. And then, of course, there's our camera equipment. Make sure all my batteries are charged and my camera's working and have all my lenses packed and my video equipment, and then also our drone is that charged. So
it's a lot of work. It's not just because I usually just use my iPhone, so I'm not really a professional taking my pictures. So you actually take hundreds of shots before you select the few that you decide to publish.
That's probably right. Yeah.
Okay. And then do you do a trip like every week then? I see you may have a flexible schedule, so it doesn't have to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so you sometimes can go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah, I mean, more often we're leaving, you know, Friday morning or Thursday night, headed up north.
Every weekend is pretty much devoted to
really
the outdoors.
Which is great, because I, you know, would love to do that anyways, and this sort of just gives me an excuse to to do it.
You're a lucky
weekend.
Man.
Yeah, I know,
have
right?
found a wife to yeah. just like, when up, we have to leave.
You're a lucky man. Remember that. I'm a lucky girl too, though, because he is super helpful when we're out there.
Yeah. No, but you're a good team. Yeah, you want to be out every week, and you're doing it year round. I mean, that's a interesting story. I don't meet a lot of people that do that many road trips.
Yeah, I mean, we have to, because winter, we value when the ice becomes thick. You only have a couple of months to ice fish, really. So we value that time. We make the most of it. And then in the fall, you only really get pretty leaves for a few weeks, so you got to do that.
Right.
In the springtime, the fishing opener is just starting, so you want to make the most of that time and go hiking and the things that you don't get to do in the winter.
Yeah.
Of course, summer is devoted to the cabin and the lake and swimming in the water and boating. It's like we need
something
to spend
that
time.
Something to do
year
round. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Do you ski? So, yeah, you have a boat?
Oh, you mean water skiing?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was in the summer.
We have, Nick's pretty good at water skiing. I'm okay. I've gone like a couple of times. What's it called? Wake surfing.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I fail at skiing. I don't know why. This wake surfing is a little bit more approachable for me.
Yeah, I feel like if you know how to snowboard, you can usually stand up on a wake surf.
Right, yeah. That's what I thought too. So you have access to watercraft, to boats?
Yeah, we have it's a kind of vintage boat now at this point. It's a 67, 1967 Crestliner. And when the motor works, we go water skiing.
Yeah, and then our friends usually have the rigs for wake surfing, so we'll just rely upon them to invite us.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
on Lake Minnetonka or whatever.
Yeah, they are. The jewelry.
Right,
of,
a little fancier. Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, that's fun. So, you said you use drone, you use video, and picture, but photographs.
Yeah.
Do you also publish a video on your Instagram? I think I only saw pictures yet. Right?
I do some videos on Instagram, which is more tailored for Instagram. So I'll have a longer version that's the horizontal, wide HD version on my YouTube page. And then I'll make it an Instagram-friendly vertical shorter video for Instagram. So it's when I make one video, I make two.
Sure.
One for each channel.
Ah, okay. Also, you have a YouTube channel too.
I do, yeah. It's I don't use it that much. I just post my content on there, and some people have subscribed, but I should probably pump it up more.
Okay.
Yeah,
because it's a different format, a different medium, video,
right.
Moving pictures.
Yeah, but Instagram is going more towards keep it all on our app, with their Instagram TV launching.
Right.
So I've been trying to figure out, do I stick to Instagram TV or do I grow my YouTube? I don't know. It's kind of a weird time right now with so much media growing.
What are your thoughts about that? Do you... Because there's so much content. I mean, from a professional standpoint or a user, what is your take on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube? I don't even know what else is out there. I think Musical.ly is already gone again. I'm not sure. I mean, I never... But do you have any inside feeling?
You're right. There is a lot. And I guess speaking from a professional videographer standpoint, the more the better, because each medium means more job security, more projects. More companies want Instagram TV videos now versus YouTube versus Facebook, or they want all three. So then you're creating three separate videos. So it's a lot more projects. But for someone who's trying to create content for themselves, it's a little bit frustrating because you need to create so many different versions. So I think it is nice when you can just keep it all on one app, on Instagram.
Yeah.
Because people can just swipe up and be linked directly to your Instagram TV channel.
Yeah.
But are people doing that? Are more people using that versus YouTube? I'm not quite sure if we have that kind of data yet.
Yeah, it is goes just so quickly. I've never really been on Twitter. I totally missed that. I think it got out and now Twitter's back. I don't know. I don't hope I'm too old for all this, but it goes so quick.
Absolutely. It's all very fickle as far as the digital media, and we try and, you know, make a durable platform for Girl of 10,000 Lakes, so that, sure, even though Instagram is big right now, at some point it may, you know, sort of vanish into the background, and then we'll just move on to the next platform, whatever that might be.
What is your vision for Girl of 10,000 Lakes? Do you have like a vision, a plan, a goal? Do you have a goal?
The goal is just to keep growing at this point and just spreading the word. I guess going back to what Nick just said about there being so many platforms and things disappearing, like, it is important to branch out and making sure you have your own website, making sure you have multiple channels, because in case Instagram disappears one day, I still have my blog and I still have all my videos that are saved on there. I still have my YouTube channel.
Correct.
So I think just continuing to grow on every platform. I guess for Instagram, this is like my personal goal, but once I reach 10,000 followers, that's when you can have that swipe up feature.
Okay.
Where you can directly link your blog posts or video posts to your stories.
Okay.
Or to your Instagram, what's it called, your feed as well. Okay. So that's just a short-term goal that I'd like to have. But,
yeah.
But long-term, you know, we're not just gonna be the two of us for the rest of our lives. We're thinking about kids, we're thinking about growing our family, so just taking that next step and fitting a child into the picture of taking them on these adventures and somehow fitting them in, I think that will be interesting to navigate and probably something other parents are wondering about too. How do you go to the boundary waters with a toddler, that sort of thing.
I okay, very interesting. So you have a concept in mind and you have a future. I can see that. What I could actually see, I'm a little bit older than you, not too much, but I like the print materials too. And Girl of 10,000 Lakes could really be like a little travel book. The road trip thing, and especially when you mentioned like, hey, can I take a toddler, or how do I do the outdoors with my family? With all the stories and all the experience that you have, you can actually put it in another format, which is an end table publication, which could be laying at cabin. And you have the Girl of 10,000 Lakes experience, and you just collect every year the top 25 trips. And I mean, there's a lot to do. I mean,
something
digital,
tangible, like the coffee table book.
I can see that happen. I mean, of course, it could be a virtual one, because do we have a book? But like even travel tips, not just a visual image, a capture, but also like, hey, do I want to do a 10,000 girls trip?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of opportunity for you to continue to tell the story of Girl of 10,000 Lakes, which I learned just now, it's more than just a picture. It's really the experience,
right?
And communicating the passion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's something we realized right away when she started posting. People were asking her like, oh, which, you know, which lake, which campsite, you know,
how far
did you go? Yeah. So
much did the trip cost?
They want the details. They want to
repeat that.
Yeah.
Right.
So it really empowers them and it brings it, you know, right to them.
Yeah, so I like your idea. We should make sure no one steals that idea.
No, it's yours.
All right, you heard that.
It's good. I
love it.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Even it could be digital in the beginning. I mean, you mentioned just a website, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you have a website with a blog.
Yep, girlof10000lakes.com.
.com, yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense. But there could be those road trip, you could just describe it a little bit more and more in detail. I haven't seen that blog, I apologize. But I don't know how descriptive the trips are. But yeah, that's exciting. So what is your most valuable lake life? I mean, we heard Northern Lights. You pretty much love it all. But do you have like one, like what lake life means to you? Or define lake life? What does it mean, Minnesota lake life?
Ooh. I mean, I think it's a pretty, you know, pretty inclusive term for just about, you know, all the sort of fun activities that might go on, but for me, fishing.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. We have some you know, special sort of secret lakes that we'll, you know, go to when we, you know, really want to catch something good. And, you know, up in the Boundary Waters or, you know, the Northwoods area.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I love lake life because it is inclusive. Anyone can enjoy it, no matter their age or their experience with the water. You don't need to be on the water to enjoy it. You can
right.
be at the dock. You could be on a boat, or you could be just walking in a park next to the water.
Right.
And you can take it all in. But for me personally, it's I guess the Boundary Waters is what comes to mind.
Really?
It's the feeling I get when I'm there. It's you have this huge lake to yourself. It's quiet, it's calm. You're canoeing, you're in the water, you're one with the water. You can stop to fish. You can stop to have lunch on a campsite. Just the calmness and slowing down. I feel like when I'm at the lake, I am on vacation because
right.
there's no rush. There's, you know, I mean, you're rushing to get to your campsite maybe before it gets dark, but time is your only enemy maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you have a deadline or obligations to meet. It's just a time to slow down, take it all in, breathe for a second, reflect, see how your paddle meets the water and creates the swirls, and just like that whimsical idea that I'm describing is like a real thing, and people can experience it. It's not just an idea in my head. Like I love going to the Boundary Waters and just having that feeling of peace come over me, and
right.
and the weather, the sun is shining down upon you, or you see the northern lights. Just nature paints this pretty picture right in front of you, and it's real.
So it's the connecting to nature and the environment, the grounding and peace, freedom in a way, or calming. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. That was really interesting. I'm glad you allowed
thank
me
you,
to come.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it's an honor to be on a podcast.
Yeah.
Well,
it's kind of introspective. Like we're sort of like learning more about ourselves as how this all happened. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, good moment. I can.
Yeah.
I saw you looking at each other and talking about it. That was good. Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. Thank you. And I think we will stay in touch.
All right, sounds great.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com, and if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com, and you have a wonderful weekend ahead.